in the last few weeks, I've spoken upon a topic called the Deatitudes. I call them Deatitudes because they are deadly attitudes that destroy our relationships, our relationship with God, and our relationship with our fellow man. The first Deatitude I spoke about was envy. And you might remember that I called that the curse of comparison, and how deadly it is when we compare ourselves with one another. We end up losing all the time. And then the week after that, I spoke about bitterness, and how I talked about how that was a poison to the soul, how it eats us from the inside out, how it destroys nobody else but ourselves. And it hurts us. And this morning, I want to speak about a third Deatitude, and that is of pride. Pride, and with it, its brother, arrogance. Unlike envy and bitterness, pride is a little more tricky because there is some pride that isn't always all that bad. We can all take pride in our work, and that could be a good thing. It means that we're happy with a job well done. You know, you take pride in your work, in your examination. When you're a student and you write an exam, if you feel that you've done well, you're happy to put your name at the top, right? But if you know you did poorly, you really don't want to put your name at the top. You just as well leave it out if you could. It's the same with people who are running their own business in the construction industry. You see a building going up, and one of the first things that the contractor will do is he'll put his business name on the building so that everyone will know who it is that is doing this work, because they take pride in their work. They want people to know, hey, this is who we are. This is who's doing this. When we have children, we often take pride in our children, especially when we see them succeed at something. Whether it's a sports tournament, whether it's a band concert, whether it's their graduation, we take pride in their accomplishments. And so there is some pride that we can understand, that it certainly can be a good thing, even a healthy thing, but we all know that pride isn't all good. In fact, more often than not, pride can be deadly. Pride is often spoke about in negative terms in the scriptures. We're going to look at four Proverbs this morning, which speak about pride briefly. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, where it says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace." Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 21:24 says, "The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride." And then Proverbs 8:13, which you may be familiar with, it says, "I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech." One of the obvious examples of pride in the Bible is in Daniel chapter 4 concerning King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, it says, "As the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as my royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Talk about pride. Nebuchadnezzar was a man of pride, and as a result of his pride, Nebuchadnezzar faced the judgment of God. You see, God has a way of bringing down the proud. Daniel chapter 5, verse 20 explains what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. "When his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed of his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men." Nebuchadnezzar's problem was one of pride. He looked only to himself. He thought of himself as being so great and mighty and wonderful, and look what I did, look what I was able to accomplish. He was a man filled with pride, and God brought him down. He humbled Nebuchadnezzar, and only when Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes to heaven, in other words, only when Nebuchadnezzar looked beyond himself and looked to God, that's when he was restored. That's when he was released from the situation that he was put in, eating grass like cattle. And Nebuchadnezzar's conclusion is seen in Daniel 4:37. He says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven." That's what we're here for this morning. Did you know that? We come together to worship the Lord. What does that mean? We have come to praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way, those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. You see, God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 8 made that very clear. He doesn't hate the person, but he hates the attitude or de-attitude of pride, the deadly attitude of pride, because pride will destroy our relationships. It's hard to be close to someone who is filled with pride. Perhaps that's why Jesus made it clear, in Luke chapter 14, verse 11, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled." The same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. "And he who humbles himself will be exalted." God delights in a humble attitude. This is not easy. This is probably one of the hardest de-attitudes to talk about, because it's one that is so hidden and so deceptive to ourselves. It's easy for me to say, "Well, I don't envy." And if I don't think about it very hard, it's easy for me to say that I don't have bitterness, until somebody reminds me of something, and then I go, "You're right. Boy, thanks a lot." But pride is a little more deceptive, because we convince ourselves, "Well, I'm not proud. I'm okay. We're all good." God hates pride. Why is it that God feels so strongly about pride? What's the problem with pride? I want to share with you three problems with pride this morning. First of all, pride is self-focused instead of other-focused. Pride looks at one's self. We've seen this in Nebuchadnezzar. "I have built my royal residence, my power, my majesty." That's what pride is. It focuses on self instead of the other person. As God's children, we are called to care about the other person, to care about one another, not to look just to ourselves, not to focus on ourselves. Pride says it's all about me. Look at me. Look at my accomplishments. Look at my talent. Look at what I've done. One of my favorite verses, which is also one of the hardest for me to follow, and I think it's like that for a lot of us, is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It doesn't talk about pride, but it certainly hinders pride. Look at what it says. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen." This is so important for us as believers, so important for us as a church, as the body of Christ. How often do we say something that is for my own benefit, for our own benefit? How often do we say something that actually puts somebody else down? Instead of thinking the best, we assume the worst. And here Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's giving a very important lesson that we need to really embrace. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Okay, we can handle that. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. What Paul is saying is if what you're going to say doesn't help somebody else, don't say it. If what you're going to say is only for your benefit, then don't say it. Keep your mouth closed. This is hard to do. I don't have this thing mastered. I'll tell you that now. Well, I don't need to tell you that. You know that. Pride focuses on self instead of on others. And the problem with that, of course, is that when we're building ourselves up, we're not building anybody else up. And that's contrary to God's desire. Problem focuses on self. Secondly, pride says, I'm better than anyone else. It's not just a matter that my focus is on me, but pride says, hey, I'm the top dog. I'm better than you. I'm better than everyone else. That's where the curse of comparison comes in again. We see it again. I'm better. Except this time, we're looking down on everybody else. Usually when we compare, we fall short. The other end of that is we compare and we look down. And that's just as bad. You can imagine what will happen to our relationships when we look down at one another. You know, if somebody on the platform says, well, this is my position, this is what I do, and you poor fellow there, you know, you don't. That doesn't build a relationship. That destroys. That's pride. One of the things that we're so focused on as a worship team is that we don't come with pride. We come to serve. We don't come to do a performance. We come to worship. And we hope and pray that the congregation will be drawn up in worship at the same time. Pride says, I'm better. Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. I really like that verse too. It just sort of puts it all right there clearly, you know. Don't think of yourself more highly, but think of yourself with sober judgment. In other words, be real, man. Be realistic. You know, you're not all that great. You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Contrast that to the Pharisee in the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone, here it is again, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And one of the worst forms of pride, looking down on others, is a spiritual pride. It's looking down on other people's faith. It's thinking that you are spiritually superior to someone else. And we need to really guard against that. The Pharisee compared himself to others, and he thought he was better than the others. Four times he mentions, I. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up. He had come to the Lord with a broken heart, and he poured himself out to God. And I believe that it is pride that often gets in the way of our relationship with God. Pride. In fact, pride is probably one of the biggest factors in keeping people away from God. Because, and here's the third problem with pride, because pride says, I don't need anyone, including God. That's what pride says. Independent. I don't need anyone. I don't need you. I don't need your help. I don't need God. I am the master of my own destiny. I can do it my way. I'm the one who achieved everything, and nobody else but me. Pride says, I don't need anyone. It's all about me. It's all about a very independent me. And I think this is why so many people reject God. It's not that they don't believe God exists, but they don't want to feel dependent upon God. They don't want to submit to God. It's their pride. That's why God hates pride. Pride, a deadly attitude, destroys relationships, both with God and with fellow man. Well, earlier I said that pride is a deceptive thing. We don't always recognize it in ourselves. I want to share with you seven indicators of pride. We'll just go through these quick, so don't worry. Seven things that kind of hint towards pride in our lives. And some of these might surprise you because they might not be at all related to pride directly. First of all, a poor prayer life. Think about it. A poor prayer life suggests that I am not actively relying on God, nor am I aware of my need for Him. When I have a poor prayer life, that could be an indicator of pride. Number two, when I am feeling exhaustion. Now, exhaustion could very well be the result of having preschoolers in the home. It could be. It often is, but it can also be because of pride. Because I'm trying to do everything myself. I'm trying to please everyone so that I look good. Exhaustion could be an indicator of pride. A third thing that could indicate pride is a critical spirit. Obviously, you know, bringing others down. Always criticizing people. Because by doing so, we're lifting ourselves up. We're inflating ourselves up. Critical spirit. A fourth thing that might indicate pride is a defensive reaction to criticism, despondency after failure, the inability to laugh at my mistakes, all suggest that I'm taking myself too seriously and thinking of myself too highly. It's okay if I make a mistake. I'm just Norman. You know, I'm just a person. A fifth thing that might indicate pride is taking responsibility for success, accomplishment, or financial prosperity may mean I have lost sight of God's gracious and undeserved provision. In other words, losing sight of the fact that it all belongs to God. It all came from God. God is the one who provides. God is the one who has enabled us to be where we are, to do what we've done. A sixth thing that might indicate pride is impatience towards others. And this is also a tricky one, and probably one that I struggle with more than a few others, is because impatience hints at an overdeveloped sense of importance. You know, I am so important. I can't wait for you. You should not make me wait for you. Hurry up, you know. Possibly. Not necessarily, but possibly. Just something to think about. These are possible indicators of pride. And the last one is an unwillingness to associate or get to know certain people because of their position or whatever else. Romans 12:16 says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Who are the people you associate with? Are there some people that you avoid because of who they are? These are just some indicators, potential indicators of pride. I just want to encourage you to take those thoughts and just mull them over in your mind and allow the Lord to speak to you to see if there is prideful attitude in your heart. Finally, what do we do about pride? Well, for each of the D attitudes, there's a prescription. The way to deal with envy, as I've shared a few weeks ago, is by embracing contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The way to deal with bitterness is by embracing forgiveness. We are called to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. And if we want to fight bitterness, we need to embrace forgiveness. And the way to deal with pride is by embracing humility. And that might be obvious, but that's the truth. We need to live a life that is humble. Again, Romans 12:3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. Jesus showed us the way. He showed us the way to live a life without pride, a life of humility. And it's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. And I'd just like to close with a reading of this scripture. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when we consider who we are in relation to who God is, when we focus on that, when we keep that in mind, it becomes a lot easier to live a life of humility, because we understand that God created us. And we're called to submit to this God. We're called to follow Him. He's shown us the way. Now it's up to us to follow His example. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you want to live a life that builds relationships, we need to be aware of these D attitudes, envy, bitterness, pride, and we need to resist them. We need to embrace humility. We need to embrace forgiveness. We need to embrace God's love for one another, and that's the way to do it.